This evening we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is chapter 17, entitled The Divisions of Faith, text number 16. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. To make the mind austere is to detach it from sense gratification. It should be so trained that it can be always thinking of doing good for others. The test, the best training for the mind, is gravity in thought. One should not deviate from Krishna consciousness and must always avoid sense gratification. To purify one's nature is to become Krishna conscious. Satisfaction of the mind can be obtained only by taking the mind away from thoughts of sense enjoyment. The more we think of sense enjoyment, the more the mind becomes dissatisfied. In the present age, we unnecessarily engage the mind in so many different ways for sense gratification, and so there's no possibility of the mind's becoming satisfied. The best course is to divert the mind to the Vedic literature, which is full of satisfying stories, as in the Puranas and the Mahabharata. One can take advantage of this knowledge and thus become purified. The mind should be devoid of duplicity, and one should think of the welfare of all. Silence means that one is always thinking of self-realization. The person in Krishna consciousness observes perfect silence in this sense. Control of the mind means detaching the mind from sense enjoyment. One should be straightforward in his dealings and thereby purify his existence. All these qualities together constitute austerity in mental activities. So, the mind is the center of all the other five knowledge-acquiring senses. In material consciousness, the mind causes us so much distress, you could say that the mind is your worst enemy. However, we are capable of controlling the mind. You have to make some effort, abhyasena tu kaunteya, by constant practice, vairagyena, by a simple life, it is possible to control the mind. Arjuna anticipated that it would be easier to control the wind than to control his mind, meaning very, very hard. We have all experienced in our practice of devotional service how irascible the mind is, how belligerent our mind is. Therefore, our Param Guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, used to say, in the morning, I take a pair of chappals, meaning shoes, and I beat my mind. So that's a proverbial statement, because some people think the mind is in the head, and some people understand the mind to be in the heart. So where are you going to hit? The head or the heart? But the point is that in this day and age, due to the world being predominantly in the mode of passion, tending towards ignorance, there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of ebullience, means desire to fight. So we have to take this nature and turn it against our real enemy and win a victory. If you can win that victory, you can conquer the universe. As the saying goes, if you can control your mind, you can conquer the universe. So, udadet atmanatmanam natmanam avashadayat. Atmaiva hi atmano ripur atmaiva ripur atmaiva hi atmano bandur atmaiva ripur atmana. The mind can be our worst friend or our best enemy. We have to try to elevate ourselves. Mahatma Gandhi was asked what he thought of Western culture. And he said, it would be a good idea. In other words, he didn't think that we had any culture. So, from our animal platform, we have an animal nature. We need to eat, sleep, mate, and defend, as all the other animals. But in order to achieve total satisfaction, we have to rise to the highest plane of existence. You cannot, for example, one plane of existence is to live the life of a drunkard, a bum, in Skid Row. And I don't think you have any example of that here, although I don't know. But in major cities in Europe, in London and Frankfurt and various areas, there are areas of town where there are people who drink all day long. They have no money, and they end up on the street, and literally they sleep at night in the gutter. The gutter is the sidewalk and the road, and where the sidewalk and the road meet. That's called the gutter. And they actually lie down there and sleep. It's usually a very poor part of town where there are a lot of cheap nightclubs and beer parlors. Do you have such a thing in Slovenia? No, you have no idea. Have any of you been to Frankfurt or London or... These things are there. Anyway, whatever depth you take it to, the lowest plane of existence is an animal type of existence. And generally such people are encouraged to raise themselves up. But unfortunately, the people who are encouraging them to rise up don't know what level to go to. You go from a fifth class cell to a first class cell, and you think you've made a lot of progress. But if you're still in jail, what is the use? So until you come at least to the philosophical plane, if not to the spiritual plane, in other words, until you come to the mode of goodness, you're not going to get complete satisfaction. You could be materially, physically, completely happy and more than anyone else, but if your mind is disturbed, you could commit suicide. Mr. Howard Hughes, probably none of you have heard of him. Anybody heard of Howard Hughes? Yeah, very wealthy man, right? He committed suicide. He was totally unhappy, psychotic actually, constantly taking drugs. Of course, he had all kinds of Playboy bunnies taking care of him and whatnot. But he had so many hotels and oil wells, and he was one of the richest men in the world, but so unhappy. Our friend, King Creole, nobody steps on his blue suede shoes. Elvis Presley died a drug addict in a bathroom on an overdose of heroin. History is full of so many people who have it materially, but their mind is such a mess. No satisfaction. So you have to come to the point where you have satisfaction spiritually. or here it says mana prasada, at least satisfaction on the mental plane. And the other items mentioned here will aid and augment satisfaction of the mind, simplicity. We have created a civilization which is sometimes compared to a fish caught in a net, moha jala. The more the fish struggles to get out of the net, the more he becomes entangled. We've created such a complicated, sophisticated society, and we have so many problems, and every solution we make for the problem, we come up with three new problems. And with a little thought, you can see how true that is. Mahatma Gandhi, highly favored village development in India. So some people commented that if you don't have big cities, then you don't have industry. There are so many warmongering nations, India will be conquered. And Mahatma Gandhi's answer was, we don't have any cities or big megatropolis. If we don't have any big cities, what will there be to conquer? Are they going to run around and conquer every little village? So, simplicity in our living, simplicity in our activities. We don't have a long time to stay here. Any older person can tell you that life is just like a dream. Believe me, just like a dream. You think about your life, and you'll see, I remember when I was a young boy, and I rode on my bicycle and did my paper route. I remember when I was in high school, and, you know, I did this and did that. Then I graduated and went to college, and I met so many friends, and then I got a job, and then I started a family, and it's all a dream. I can't reach out and pull it back. It's not like I have a storehouse somewhere and I can go and, year 20. And, oh, here I am doing the same things as when I was 20. All you got is pictures. This is me when I was 20. What is it? You got to enjoy that picture so much? You get ecstatic feelings all over your body? What are you going to do with it? It's just a memory. It's a dream. So life passes so quickly. You can't keep a darn thing. Everything changes anyway. Just like, who was it? Not Maharaj Katvanga. Well, maybe Maharaj Katvanga, but there was one person who was called to fight for the demigods. He went up to the heavenly planets. And then when it was time, after some time, he asked if he could go back to his family. And, oh, hey, your family's long gone. Time in the demigods and time in the humans are so different that your family and 100 generations have already passed. So it's the nature of the world. Everything goes quickly, changes. You just don't know. So why make a big thing of it? Why create situations where you get attached? Now, this is a hard one. This is a tough one. But we also have to realize this. We have our husband, our wife. We have our children. Well, let's just stick with husband and wife. We build a relationship. We get attached. The attachment becomes very strong. Pungsa Striya Mithuni Bhav. Especially from Maitun sex, Tayor Mito Hridaya Grantim Ahu, the knot of affection becomes very tight. And then we get older, and then that person dies, and the whole world, you know, becomes vacant. Each moment seems like 12 years or more. It's like that. I'll tell you, it's like that. I've seen people, and it really happens. Pair or matched, you know, they live together, they're so attached to each other, and then one of them dies. And within short time, a year or less, the partner dies. They just can't live without the other. And then in the next life, she becomes the man, and he becomes the woman. But it's a fact, and you tell them, look, you knew they were going to die. Why did you get attached? Everything in this world. Your car, it's going to get old. It's going to be finished. Maybe you'll get a new one that's better, and maybe you won't. But that one will also go. Your house. My parents, we lived in a house where the oldest people in the neighborhood, oldest people for miles around, we were the first ones there in that area. Some, I don't know, 60, 70 years. We built our house there. So, yeah. Now, well, there was a point where my mother just got so old and she wasn't any income and father was gone, and where she was going to have to sell the house and move into an apartment somewhere. Oh, she got a windfall. Okay, now she's still got our family house. All the other brothers and sisters have their houses everywhere around, but everybody was thinking, oh, where's the house? That's where we grew. Oh, that's where we played. Oh, there's the park. And attached to that house, but it had to go. And it will have to go soon, someday. So simplicity means to keep our living style so simple that we can pack up everything and go to another part of the world tomorrow. We shouldn't carry a lot of attachments and a lot of baggage, either physically or in our mind also. It's hard to cultivate this, but you've got to look at life constantly and analyze that your attachments are not going to benefit you. They're only going to cause you anxiety. Gravity. Now, there's a neat word. Prabhupada said, when did I read that? Room conversation, something. He said, gravity, one definition of gravity is when no one knows what you're thinking. But in another sense, gravity means, as described here, to have the mind fixed on activities of Krishna consciousness. There's a lot of talk here about sense gratification, and sometimes you find, I mean, it's really stressed. And sometimes in the scriptures, a lot of stress put on this sense gratification. And sometimes devotees get distressed when they see the same thing pushed at them all the time. You know, why all this? Why repeatedly sense gratification? I know. Why is he coming back to me again? Because that's our nature. We're attached to sense gratification. Now, sense gratification is not wrong. In fact, you can't avoid sense gratification. Sukham aindrikam daitya tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido nalabhite yad brahmatam upariyada. You go to Brahmalok, to Patalok, everywhere in the world. There's sense gratification. You don't have to meditate on it. It's going to come your way. And it, you know, doesn't mean you practice a jagra of vritti. You know, you just sit in a room and, okay, it's going to come my way. Here I am. Come on. No, you have to go and work and live your life. But you're going to get something enough. So your attachment, yada sangharate chayam kurmongani vasarvasya indriyam indriyate vyas. Tasya pragya pratishtita. We have to become pragya pratishta. We have to withdraw our senses from attachment to sense gratification. And you'll find that people who are pretending to be yogis or ascetics, you know, karmendriyani samyamya yaaste manasmasmaram, Nityachara Saluchate, they make a show of controlling their senses, but their mind is always attached to the thought of future gratification. They're called Nityachara, pretenders. Krishna's not fooled. So, we have to cut the knot, material affection. We can do that by self-control. Again, you got to know who the self is. And we're bombarded with all kinds of stimuli to tell us that we're the body. And if you expose yourself by television and association with people who are engrossed in sense gratification, you won't be able to. You'll get infected. You ever hear anyone say, "Hey, I know a lot of karmis who are nicer than devotees"? You ever hear that? Practically every day for the last 5 years, right? Somebody says it. Okay, they may be nice in certain ways. A, you don't really know, you're just seeing them in public. Go home and see them when they're tested or see them when they're asked to give up their sense gratification. There's, you know, there's a relationship between people as long as there's no interruption in the indriya tripti, sense gratification. But the test comes when someone has to sacrifice, has to develop self-control. Then they get agitated. Or I've seen it zillion times. Someone will say, "I'm not attached. I'm aloof from sex life. I could take it or leave it." And once you become an aloof, okay. They move into the ashram, and after about 3 months, you know, they're going through withdrawal pains. They didn't realize that when you actually control your senses, you find out how much you were attached. Just like someone during winter season living in the Swiss Alps, and they've got this little house and nice little cottage, and but during the winter they're snowed in, so they're just indoors all winter long. And it's nice, you know, got their nice little stove and it's warm. And, you know, they read a lot and whatever, do what they have to do. And then spring comes and the sun melts the snow and open the doors and the windows, fresh air. And then they start to do a little spring cleaning. And wow, a lot of dirt in here. I never realized before how dirty this place was. You know, start cleaning the house and, oh, behind the couch, there's so much dust and dirt. And even you go to wherever you can go anywhere, practically. Especially in tropical countries, but even here. You could walk around the temple and, you know, find a ledge somewhere and run your finger over it, and chances are there's a huge layer of dust there. And we're quite conscientious about cleanliness, but you just never know how dirty things are until you really have a maha cleanup. So, attachment grows, and unless you develop a little bit of self-control and conscientiously try to minimize and gradually cut yourself loose, by the time you're 50 or 60, you should be ready. Surrender to Krishna. You should be ready to let go. Because if you don't, at the time of death, you're going to be rudely awakened. You're going to go through a lot of mental and physical problems while dying. Immediately, and you see it in older people in general. Of course, there's exceptions. I've seen this also many times. I've seen people claim that they're not afraid of death, but when they actually, their cars, you know, sliding on the ice down the wrong side of the road, and you know, 10-ton lorries coming down the others, you know, they get really frightened. You don't know where you're going, and you're losing everything. All your attachments are taken away from you forcibly. That's why gradual renunciation is definitely better. Get yourself on a track, on a process where you can enjoy in a spiritual way with license and gradually let go naturally with encouragement, but with knowledge, gradually let go, cut loose. No false ego involved, just your own volition, your own enlightened letting go out of your own enlightenment. You, by the time, you know, you've got 30 years, 40 years, every year make a little more progress, so you can go quickly as you like. But to build up attachments all your life more and more and more and then face death and have it all ripped away from you, not a good process. So we're trying to make it sound very rational, the right thing to do, but we don't have much prayanalpayusa sobya klo asmin. We don't have a lot of good brain. Alpa medasa, unfortunately. And I really say we. I'm not pontificating. I know myself how short my memory is, how poor my realization is of subjects. Little experiences taught me a little bit. There's so much to be known and realized. So this gradual process, we should be really grateful. It's not too austere, but if we, again, keep it simple, sadhu, and no duplicity, there's no need. Stay away from politics. There's always going to be a few politicians in every temple. And, you know, maybe it's necessary for a little diplomacy, a little whatever. Let the politics majors deal with it. let the people who are assigned deal with the diplomacy. But in general, stay away from rumor mongering. You've got an environment here. It's Prabhupada's temple. Gornitai is here. You can render service to the deities. You can chant your rounds. You can have your wedding ceremonies. You can have your whatever it is, ceremonies, yajnas, pavitras. You can do all kinds of things in this nice facility. You can invite your friends. Hopefully one day we'll have a restaurant here. I really hope we have a restaurant here, because it would be nice to have a restaurant here, because there's a floor just above me where there could be a restaurant, and you can bring your friends. And nice place. In Vedic culture, the temple was the center of all activity. The temple, all the markets, everything, the business, the brahmanas, everything was circled around the temple. Inside, the brahmacharis and sannyasis, and the brahmanas, the, you know, kshatriya, vaishya, all that. So, let the temple be the center. Use your imagination. Create social activities centered around the Puranas and the Mahabharata. Plays. How many plays? Do we have a drama troupe? Are they putting on plays, etc., at the Sunday feast every week? Have readings of Mahabharata and Ramayana and different Puranas. You had some Akhanda Kirtan, have a Ramayana or Bhagavat Sapta. Enjoy. So much to enjoy. But keep your life as simple as possible. Be in control. Cut the knot of material affections. Stay away from any kind of politics or duplicity. Just open your heart. There's sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. As long as you're pleasing your spiritual master and the authority in charge of the temple, no need to worry about what other people think or say or do. Simple living and high thinking can be right here in the temple. Okay, we think of simple living meaning to have a farm somewhere. But you can be simple in the city also, simple and hard, simple and straightforward in your activities. Nothing I would enjoy more when I was a young brahmachari than to clean the kitchen or clean the toilets or wash the floor, because it was like a kind of mindless job, and I could listen to a tape or think of some philosophical point, and it was just so nice, simple. So I'm going to finish there.